You're listening to episode 257 of Women Worldwide. What's the importance of culture in the workplace? And what would it take for a person to start their career at a company and want to stay there for many years? This just doesn't happen all that often. I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up and tuning into the show. Wherever you are in this big, beautiful world, we appreciate you. So we have started the year strong with more stories, and there's something about stories, the way they kind of, it's the glue that bonds us together. And when our guests get a little bit vulnerable and they can share challenges, we learn, we get motivated and inspired, and that's when change happens. So we can grow together. And at the same time, you know, not only are we changing lives with these stories, we also want you to know you're not in this alone. So if you have any challenges that you want to share, please, please let me know. Okay, let's get to today's topic and special guest. The topic is culture in the workplace, and how important is culture to keep people around? Now, I read a statistic recently, although it goes back to, I think, 2018. It was a Deloitte study that said that millennials, about 50% of them, were only planning to stay at their current jobs for about 2 years. And this has changed. There's a lot more job hopping going on. And that might be great if you're looking to get a bigger position or title, but what does that mean for a company? So that's the segue to my guest today. Joining me on the show is Crystal Martinez. Now, Crystal is perfect to talk about culture and having people stay because she actually started with her company in high school at Fieldwork, which is a leading world-class marketing research services firm. And today, after being in recruiting at the company and client relations and project management and becoming a director, today she's actually the president of Fieldwork Webwork, which is a division of the overall corporation. So I could say so much about Crystal, but I think it's time that she shares her story and advice with you. Crystal, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we're so happy too, because I find it very unique that you started in high school and here you are today at this company as a leader. And I think you also mentioned to me once that you met your husband at the company and one of your closest friends works there as well. That just kind of screams family. But before we get to the culture part of it, I'd like to find out, when you started, did you ever think that you were going to become president of a division of Fieldwork?
Absolutely not. I sort of expected it to be a short-term position, maybe a couple of years. I think, like, as you mentioned, a lot of people are saying nowadays. I was wrapping up high school, planning to go to school, and in working for Fieldwork Denver at the time, Their office was located on the student union. It was the most ideal position for someone who was studying during the day, and then you would work at night. Lots of desk space to spread out your homework, and you know, time to get things done. So it was a, you know, in my mind, a perfect job to get me through that. But I didn't really plan on staying as long as I have.
Well, that's pretty amazing. And I would have to say that there must be something about the culture that keeps people around. If you were to pick out, I don't know, one, two, three things that kind of keep you all together, what would that be? So that other listeners out there could say, hey, are we doing this? Is this a part of our culture?
Yeah, I think that culture has always proven to be very important to those people around me at Fieldwork. You mentioned the word family. I certainly think that's what it feels like here. We're all very tight-knit. We spend a lot of time inside the office, but we also spend a lot of time together outside of the office. We have big meetings where we're in person and learning together and collaborating with people all across the country. And those opportunities to get to know one another in person and build relationships, I really think that is hugely responsible for being where I am now. It afforded me the opportunity to reach out to people beyond my sort of little, corner of the world when I had questions or, was in a tough situation. So it really broadened my resources.
I think that's really good. That's a differentiating factor. It's just so easy with technology today to be able to have those video conferences, those Skype or Zoom calls. But when you get people together, there's definitely an energy in the room. So that's really good to hear. I just wonder, I mentioned millennials in the beginning, and now there's Gen Z, five generations in the workforce, right? So how do you, it seems like once you get them in, they stay in. But do you do anything to attract younger generations to the company?
So I think that we work really hard to network in industry and women forward and ethnic forward sort of arenas to where we are reaching younger and different and broad groups of people. I think that certainly helps. We have a strong focus on technology and making sure that we're keeping this traditionally human, traditionally in person market research that people do, but we're keeping that present and up to date. We're utilizing technology. So I think that some of those things certainly lend itself to bringing in, those younger groups of people.
I would definitely think so. I think you have to have a blend of the technology, which definitely draws in the younger generations, but keeping it human and real and in person is so valuable. Because I mentioned, and you mentioned, this feeling of family. So there's always this fine line when you are the boss. And this question really comes from one of our listeners who, one of her challenges was that, sometimes you have to have tough conversations, but at the same time, you want everybody to like you. So how do you manage that with your team, knowing that you're all one big family?
That was a real struggle for me. When I was first promoted to president, I was coming from a role where I was now responsible for being in charge of people who were previously, my colleagues. And so that was definitely something that, was a challenge for me. Here are these people that I've spent a lot of time with, on a pretty deep personal level. And now I'm in charge of running the company and making sure that, I get fed, that they get fed, all of those things happen. And that was definitely stressful. I think what was important to me was to let them know that, you know, those friendships were still there. You know, that wasn't going to change, you know, my feelings about all of my colleagues, even those, you know, who aren't subordinates. You know, those are deep running relationships. But that doesn't mean that we won't have difficult conversations. And times where, you know, we need to affect change. I try to remember to, you know, praise in public and, you know, criticize in private. You know, it's important, I think, for the listener to hear those sort of criticisms, you know, in a safe place where they feel like they can process it. That's not always easy to hear. It really started with a conversation with them about how there would be times where we really had to separate that personal life from our business life. But I think it's been working pretty well.
That's really good. And I mean, there is something about having those conversations and offering feedback in a way that takes away the personal. It's not about the person, it's more the behavior. And all you want to do is help somebody to excel. Right. And to, you know, just reach success, whatever their goal is, or to even exceed that. And I think that the safe place is something so important that you've mentioned, because with the safe place comes the trust. You know, you have to have a foundation of trust. So it sounds like it's definitely there. So I'm actually going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. I want to switch over to my passion project that I've been working on. And we've had a conversation before, so you know it's the feel model and how my team and I have developed this feel first test, because you have to have emotional intelligence. So before I share where the test is and the link that everybody can find the test, I just want to ask you about emotional intelligence and empathy. How are you incorporating emotional intelligence and empathy into what you're doing every day as a leader?
Well, I think it's immensely important. And I think that it should play a role every day in every decision that you make. You know, we're in the business of people, whether that's your clients who are coming to you or the people who are working with you and for you. You know, I really try to consider what it's like in their shoes, how best to deliver information. I try to include them in some of the bigger conversations and decisions. I think that, you know, feeling like you really have a role in something leads you to, you know, feel like you're a bigger part of it. I think it's absolutely critical. And when I'm making a decision, I'm considering what those decisions will make or how they will affect those people, both clients and employees, every step of the way.
Oh my gosh. So I'm so happy to hear that you put your emotional intelligence hat on, and you keep it on, because you can't just bring it somewhere once in a while and then not have it. Because actually having this emotional intelligence, being able to have a check on your own emotions, to read others, that just goes with us, you know, wherever we are. So thank you so much for answering that question. And for all of you Women Worldwide listeners, and Crystal, for you and all of your teammates, you can go to feelfirsttest.com. We're constantly updating the test and making it better, but it's a way that you can see how much you feel. In other words, face your fears, engage with empathy, use ethics and good judgment, and how much you unleash the love before you communicate. So that's feelfirsttest.com, and let me know how you do. Okay, Crystal, let's dive back into our discussion. Time to get a little vulnerable. So, you know,
okay, I'm ready.
Like, you know, the vulnerability, how we bond by being human. And, you know, we all have challenges. So I have heard from many Women Worldwide listeners about challenges. And I'm wondering if you might be able to share What are some of your challenges as a president, as a professional woman? What's happening in your world today?
So, you know, I think that one of the unique things about me, you mentioned that, you know, my husband works for the company. That's still the case. We do work together. That presents a challenge in and of itself, certainly. There are a lot of times, for example, where we're traveling for a meeting, and that means both of us need to be out of town at the same time. And we've got kids at home. They're all much older now. All of them are in high school and at this point would likely prefer when we
oh, what? That's right. Party at the house.
Right. That's the reality of it. But it hasn't always been easy for sure. And sometimes it means taking a look at, you know, what we have going on in our individual lives, both professionally and personally, and really making some tough decisions about who's going to sacrifice, you know, this particular trip or this particular opportunity, in order to make it work both professionally and for our family. And it's not always easy. I think as a woman, we tend to lean toward, well, I'll take the hit because I'm mom. I need to be home or it's my responsibility. And I've gotten much better at that over the years, you know, with a lot of practice and of course, a lot of support from my husband. That was always a really big challenge for me is, figuring out, where to kind of, be able to lean in and ask my husband to lead back a little bit, and then vice versa.
Oh, that's so good to hear because I can relate to this because for a while, that was happening for me. And then I just learned to close my mouth and just not offer to be the one to stay home. Just resist the temptation to be like, oh, it's okay. I'll stay. I'll rearrange my travel. Let me see if I can change the date on this. That's when all of a sudden your significant other just steps up to the plate. And that's so nice. It is a shared responsibility. So excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. Do you have any, throughout your career, were there any big aha moments that you really learned something about yourself?
Well, I've had some really fantastic leaders, who have been some really terrific examples. I've had a few who weren't so great as well. So, I definitely try to kind of look to that. I call that back. I think about, what would those really stellar people who helped hold me up do in this situation? And sometimes I consider, what would those less than stellar people do, in this particular situation? So I find that I often look to, examples or mentors or leaders that I've had, and sort of ask myself, what would they do? And I think that it's a little bit surprising how much I really try to recall my interactions with those people and my own experiences and try to consider that when I'm making those decisions. I didn't realize how much reflection would be going on in this particular role. You kind of have this expectation in mind about what it's going to be. And it's, making decisions and getting things done. And really, I find that it's a lot more reflection, a lot more consideration, and just, a lot more kind of thinking and talking it out than I probably ever expected.
Well, you're very present. I mean, to be able to write.
It's not always easy.
You are present and the ability to reflect and then move forward. I also really like if you are thinking about your mentors and people who guide you saying, what would so-and-so do? Because that makes you take a pause. I mean, it's very easy to say, what should I do? How should I react? And it's always based on other people. I'm finding that, when you're in a situation, it's more, what do they need? What's happening for them? But I really like that you're thinking about the important people in your life and how they would handle things as well. That's a good way to look at it. I can't even believe that we're at this advice portion of the show. It goes really quickly. So if you were just going to give your top advice to women worldwide listeners about how to be the glue, how to keep people together, how to keep them engaged, and in all in a way that everybody can learn and grow together, what would you want to say to them?
What I think has worked so well for me, and I think it contributes to the longevity that I have on my team, is just the inclusion in all sorts of opportunities, big and small, the inclusion in all sorts of conversations. I'm in the habit of probably oversharing a little bit about what's going on in the day to day, or, how things are looking at for the overall year, or, goals that, we're trying to make as a company. Maybe those things aren't typically shared with all of their employees, but I find that, when you're including your team in those conversations, it really provides them with a sense of, a bigger part of the picture, being a bigger part of the picture. If I had advice to give, that's what, open it up a little bit and bring some folks in. And, you might be nervous about sharing some of those things like numbers or, projections and things like that. Sometimes that can be difficult. But I think you would be surprised at how well people, understand it. And, sometimes you have to talk it out and even sort of mentor them about what it means, what these numbers mean, or what those goals are and why you're reaching for them. But you're helping them learn along the way. And I really think it gives them a sense of almost ownership and being included. I just think it really goes a long way.
No, that's excellent advice. People want to be included. And as when I was doing my research with millennials, that was a big complaint that was called out quite a bit when I did my one-on-one interviews, where they really felt like specifically the leaders, their managers, supervisors, or executives of the company kept them in the dark. Yeah. And they just wanted to know, why do you keep us in the dark? Do you not value our thoughts, our participation, us knowing, almost this sense of we want to be in it, but you're closing the door. So right. The fact that you're sharing and you're sharing information, granted, you might have to educate them. Mm-hmm. They must really appreciate that. Now I'm understanding why you stuck around for so long, why your husband is still there, why you have friends. That is just awesome, Crystal. Last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work at Fieldwork Webwork?
So you can always visit our website at fieldwork.com. There's a wealth of information and resources there. You can always email me, Crystal M. for Martinez at fieldwork.com. If you have questions, if you, want to talk about market research or women in business, or, just kind of chew the fat, feel free to reach out.
I want to talk about research and women in business, so I'll be emailing you. I hope everybody else reaches out to you too. It was just so lovely to have you on the show. Very refreshing. Thank you so much for your time, your insights, and for helping to keep us all together with your story. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Keep your feedback coming. It's really helping us to learn from you and to incorporate the guests and the questions that you have into the show. You can always tweet me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. You can subscribe on YouTube and comment on the videos. And you can also sign up for updates on the Women Worldwide Show website. That's womenworldwideshow.com. Okay, friends. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.